The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. One woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For Jews, use nothing in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "You knew the gift of God, and who was saying to you, 'Give me a drink'? You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty, or have to keep coming here to draw water. I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming, yet when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed the Father seeks such people in worship to him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he." The one who is speaking with you. Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, they said to the woman. We no longer believe because of your word. For we have heard for ourselves. We know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord. Both the first reading in the Mass and the Gospel is an invitation for us to examine our consciences and our lives on how do we talk to God? How is your conversation with God? Right now we're going through the spiritual exercises program. We've arrived at midpoint in the exercises. And one of the primary purposes of the spiritual exercises is to teach us to go deeper in our prayer life. Deeper in our prayer life. So I'm going to try to do today, I'm going to teach you a new form of prayer that I don't think any of you have ever done before. But once you understand this, this is really going to enrich your prayer life. Okay, what did Moses do? Okay, today we have the first reading where the people are really angry at Moses. They're angry at God because there they are, in the wilderness, and there's no water to drink. So the people get angry at both Moses and God. So the prayer that Moses does today, because he's talking to God, is a new type of prayer that I'd like to introduce you to. Okay, all of you know that one way to pray God is to praise God. That's what Mass is. We're praising God. All of you know that when you talk to God, you should thank God too. And the word Eucharist means thanksgiving. Now we're making general confessions this week. All of us have learned, I hope we have, to tell God we're sorry when we make a mistake. I think we've done that before. And the easiest form of prayer that we learn when we're maybe 4 or 5 years old is to ask God for something. Those are four modes of prayer that I hope all of you have done. I think you have. So here's a new type of prayer. Go before God and to complain to God about your problems and your sufferings. Let's talk about that. That probably never occurred to you in a million years that you can do that. I do it. I do it a lot. And I think those are maybe my best holy hours. Those are probably my best because they're so real. And I think our prayer life has to be more real, not saccharine sweet. But it's got to be real. So I'm going to try to teach you that. And I think after this Mass, your prayer life is going to be a little bit different. Keep praising God, thank God, and tell God you're sorry and ask Him. But I'd like to enrich all of our prayer life by teaching us to bring our sufferings and our complaints before God. If you want a model, it's Moses. The whole book of Exodus are the people are complaining. They bring their complaint to Moses, and then Moses goes and he complains to God about them, he complains to God about himself. And I think the problem is this, that we think that that's irreverent. Probably think that that's... I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you at all. I think that that's a very sincere prayer. Very honest prayer. Who of us do not have some physical ailment? Hey, now you're past 40. I've got my physical ailments, and you probably do also, right? Hello? Did you ever think of going to the Lord and say, Lord, this arthritis, you know, it's really bothering me, Lord. Can you take it away or at least alleviate the pain? That's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. Sounds like you're kind of complaining, but God is so happy that you're opening up and you're telling about your suffering. Now, is he going to take away your arthritis? Maybe not. But he might alleviate it, or he might say, okay, I'm not going to take it away, but I'll help you to carry that cross. I've done this type of prayer many times, and it really helps. In which you end that prayer with consolation because you know that God is listening to you. That's called faith. St. Paul today speaks about faith, hope, and charity in the second reading. That's called faith. Faith is believing in a God we don't see. Otherwise, it gets clogged up within us. It does. It gets clogged up within us. And if you don't get it out, it turns into desolation. Then from the desolation, it turns into depression and anger. This unresolved problem that we have, if we don't give it to the Lord, then we end up by suffering a lot of depression. One of my favorite verses from St. Peter is, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. Isn't that beautiful? Cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. Try it today. Okay, maybe it's a physical suffering. But I think all of you here have a lot of suffering because something that is happening in your family, right? Something that happened, or something that's happening in your family, or something that will happen in your family that you're already anticipating. Right? The problem is, we're just keeping that to ourselves. And it's like a wound that starts to fester, and then you get the pus. You got to lance it. I'm not a doctor, but I know a little bit. If you don't lance that pus, it's going to get infected. Then you might have to get a gangrene and what? Hey, amputation. We've got spiritual pus within our hearts. We got to lance it. Lance it means to get it out with the Lord. Okay, how many of you people have some son or daughter that is not where you'd like them to be? I think that those that didn't raise my hand don't understand my New York English. I think we all, and we as priests, we got thousands. You're here, but 75% of our people don't even come to Mass on Sunday. I suffer because of that. So I'm the shepherd of, you know, Hawaiian Gardens, Lakewood. This is our parish. Most people don't come to church. I suffer because of that. I suffer because their salvation is in jeopardy. But I don't become depressed because I give it to the Lord. Once I give it to the Lord, there's peace. But I think every one of you have a son or daughter that you know he's not where he should be. He's had a good formation, he made his first communion, he made his confirmation, was an altar server, went to 12 years of Catholic school, and he's not here with you. You'd love to see him sitting next to you and receiving communion, and he's not, and you're suffering because of that. Now look, if you don't bring that to the Lord, you're going to fall into depression, I'll tell you. Desolation, depression. Then you're going to be, as they say in Spanish, un corajudo, una persona amargada, con cara de vinagre. Huh? You're going to be. We have to learn to be honest and bring our suffering to the Lord. So try to do it today. Maybe 5 minutes. And I think all of you, myself included, we're going to experience a certain peace we've never had before because it's been clogged up. Give me 3 more minutes. Okay. This past week, I had 2 funerals. Just over the past 6 months, this has been a new thing I've been using in my funeral homilies. We all suffer because of the loss of our loved ones. You know, my father died 7 years ago, and I still miss the guy. It's almost as if tears well up in my eyes. And sometimes I want to get up the phone and call him. Oh, no, I can't do it. I like to call him and talk with him and banter and ask for advice and joke around and talk about this and that. Oh, can't do it. So it's normal to go through a grieving process. But we have to learn how to grieve, too. I think because we're kind of machos. We're kind of machos. I don't want to express any of my sentiments. My favorite passage for funerals is John 11. Jesus wept. It's the shortest phrase in the Bible. You want a little bit of grammar lessons? It's a subject and a predicate. You got 2 words. Very short sentence, right? Jesus wept. So what I'm doing in my funerals, and I think I'm hitting home, most of the funerals are for Mexicans, no? Most are. They say, Our Lady Guadalupe loves you. Our Lady Guadalupe loves you very much. And they say, okay, you lost your loved one. Did you know that Our Lady suffered 2 great losses? She lost her husband, St. Joseph. No one says anything about that. I've never heard a homily preached on that before. It's going to be his feast day next Monday in 8 days. I've never heard anyone ever give a homily on that. And I will eventually develop one. I'll try to give a 15-minute homily. But Mary must have suffered incredibly. My mom suffered when she lost my dad. I mean, my mom was with her husband for 62 years. She suffered. Well, don't you think Mary suffered at the loss of St. Joseph? She had passions. So Mary suffered at the loss of her beloved husband, but Mary also suffered at the loss of her only son. So we're going through grief. We're going through grief. Go to Mary. There's no one in the world that understood the loss of a loved one more than the Blessed Virgin Mary. No one. But Mary, she took her tears and she offered her tears to God the Father for our salvation. So I think that this message is going to be helpful, won't it? Is that let's learn how to pray. Let's be honest. Get a nice picture of Mary, a nice picture of divine mercy. And when you're really feeling down, close the door. No one's going to be there. Just open up and pour out your heart to God. And I promise you, maybe the problem won't be taken away. But you know you're not alone. You're with God. Amen.